Welcome to the EU Startups Podcast. Sit back and enjoy the show hosted by Marcin Lewandowski.
This episode of EU Startups Podcast is brought to you by Vanta. Are you building a business? Achieving compliance with frameworks like ISO 27001 and SOC 2 can help you win bigger deals, enter new markets, and deepen trust with customers. But this can also cost you real time and money. Vanta automates up to 90% of the work for the most in-demand frameworks, helping businesses get compliant quickly. And with over 300 integrations, you can easily monitor and secure the tools your businesses rely on. Join over 7,000 fast-growing companies that use Vanta to manage risk and prove security in real time. To learn more about how Vanta works and to get 20% off, visit vanta.com/EU Startups. That's vanta.com/EU Startups. Now, kick back and enjoy the show. Hey everyone, this is Marcin Lewandowski and you're listening to the EU Startups Podcast. My guest today is Alex Barish. Alex is the CEO and co-founder of Fleet, a French B2B startup focused on simplifying the equipment management and renewal of computers and cell phones for startups and SMBs. Alex is also one of Europe's rockstar angel investors and Sequoia's capital scout with more than 80 investments under his belt. Alex, amazing to have you on the show.
Yeah, thanks a lot for having me. I'm super happy to be here.
Awesome. How are you today, Alex?
I'm good. I'm doing very well. Very well. Good weekend. It's Monday.
Awesome. Fleet is making waves. So let me just kick in straight into the questions. You know, Fleet is making waves in simplifying equipment management for startups and SMBs. What sparked the idea for Fleet?
Yeah, so I used to work in other startups before Fleet, such as Rocket Internet and Ironhack, a coding bootcamp. And I was an executive in those startups, like, you know, like general manager for countries or CEO. So I had some manager role. Yeah. And I realized when I was there, like I saw some category defining startup being built to, you know, like to solve some issues on customer traveling, for instance, with Travelpark, on insurance with Alan, on banking with Conto, on payrolls with Payfit or Personio. And and then I realized there was something missing for IT, as it was a problem in the various startup I used to work for. So I thought, okay, it's a good opportunity to build Fleet.
Sounds good, Alex. Actually, your journey from entrepreneur to angel investor sounds like, you know, a thrilling adventure. What inspired you to transition from building your own startup to investing in others? And, you know, maybe what's been some of the happiest and hardest moments for you so far on this roller coaster ride of being a founder and investor?
Yes, so I started angel investing even before launching Fleet. To me, angel investing is a passion. Because I really love to be surrounded by entrepreneurs, meeting entrepreneurs. I think it's a privilege to be at the first day of a journey and meet very ambitious people and listen to their vision and what they want to achieve. So it has been more a hobby, passion, and obviously, like, I've been doing it more and more. I have, yeah, like, as you said earlier, plus 100 investment made now. So obviously I've professionalized a lot my practice now, but it starts like a hobby and passion, and it has developed to something a bit more professionalized now, but I still do it by passion. So awesome. Yeah, I think this is the main thing.
Sounds good. You know, having done 80 angel investments, your portfolio is like a treasure trove of startup knowledge. What are the golden nuggets you gained from, you know, scaling Fleet that you find yourself sharing most often with the founders you invest in?
Yeah, so it's a good question. I think first thing is when I'm building relationship with founders, I don't pretend to have more experience than them. Like many times, I have more experience than I am. No, I'm quite young, even if Fleet is successful. Some startup I'm backing have been building also our second time founder, so they've been building great startup too before. And I think my lesson I learned are not especially the same for another one. Fleet is a bootstrap startup. We never raise. So some stuff we are doing doesn't apply to some others. So yeah, I try to be empathic, listen to them and adapt my knowledge and thinking to them. I think I'm bringing many of them a lot of value because I'm very, very connected at the end, no, as you say. So I invested in 100 startups, Fleet has 1,000 clients. Mm-hmm. I'm working with Sequoia, but I know many other VC firms. I have co-investing with
this is
many
crazy.
Of them.
So I have some outdated numbers. Like I said 80, but you say 100. Like we have to.
Yeah. So maybe it's some number from 9 months or a year ago or something, but I continue.
That's
after
a lot.
That. Yeah, it's quite much, but. So I'm acting as a super connector, no? So I can connect them with many people I've been meeting, like startup investing that have same, you know, like go-to-market strategy, startups that are some of my clients, journalists I'm meeting, politics or other investment firms. So I'm connecting them to a lot of people. And yeah, I have a lot of learning with Fleet, bootstrapping on how to do go-to-market with, you know, like almost no budget and growing internationalization. I think it's some of my strengths. And I think mainly that. And then I'm super like curious, open, a good listener, I think, and quite empathic. So I try to be also a neutral voice on many stuff. So since I invest, at the end of the day, it's not such a massive game changer for me. Like it's quite some small ticket at the end. So I try to be always on the, you know, like along founders and brainstorming with them on what's the best for them, what's the best for their interest. Yeah. And they can talk to me like founder to founder, no? Like not founder to investor, no? And I think this is quite useful also for them.
Exactly. Because you have this founder touch because you're a founder yourself. You know, being the scout for Sequoia Capital, you're like the startup Sherlock Holmes, sniffing out the next big thing. Can you give us a sneak peek into your detective process? Like, what clues or signals do you look for in founders? Are there any red flags or green lights that stand out to you?
Yeah, so when I invest in startup, yeah, most of the time I do first check. I can do some exception to it, but many times it's first check. So I think 99% of the conviction is on founder, no? It's less on category. Obviously, I try to focus on categories that I think are scalable and can produce venture output, meaning like can be scalable and become a $1 billion business at the end. So it's more SaaS, fintech, today more AI. So this is more discriminatory than something else. And then I really try to focus on the founders themselves and their quality. And I do a lot of people that are second time founder or ex-executive or, you know, like unicorn or stuff like this. Right. And then even among them, I'm trying to be selective and try to assess among those founders who are the ones that I feel really want to build something big. And I think it's not something obvious. And I think the venture path is a special one, no? Like it's quite risky and you have to be aware of it. And you have to have like the determination and focus to build like something really massive. And I try to feel that in people, no? Like, do I feel really like they're ready to be really long-term, stay there for 15 years and try to build something massive because it's what generates return in venture, no? Also called 100%. Like the power law, you know?
Yeah. So, Alex, imagine you're running an angel investor school. What would be your top three lessons learned from your investments and how have they shaped your perspective on investing?
Yes, so Yeah, so there is a few, no? Like one of them, I think, is first of all, I think it's good to when you start as an angel investor to build some deal flow and not invest in everything you received, no? Mm-hmm. I think it's one of the first learning, no? When you start, obviously, you know, like you can get excited by everything and learn to say no, no? So I think investing is about a lot of no for one yes. And also, obviously, when you start, you have less qualitative deal flows than later on, no? So be selective from directly, no? Then build a network, no, on how to generate this deal flow. And the best network is to surround yourself with the best angel investor of your region or country, and seed funds and investor in general. So try to be around them, learn from them. And myself, I'm super humble to say, like, when I start, I learn a lot from many people, no? So, and I'm still learning a lot from many great angel and funds, no? And so, like, be humble, surround yourself with the best. And third thing is try to create value, no? Like, try to create value to the other investors that send you stuff and to the investment you make. Mm-hmm. I think, like, you have an unofficial NPS, like people talk of you outside and say, oh, is this guy useful or not? Should I send him some stuff? Should I invite him in my deal or not? If he invests in my startup, will he create value? And they ask each other this, no? So when you manage to enter a good one, try to create as much value as possible, and then people will speak among them and say, oh, yeah, this guy is really useful, so I should continue giving him some deals and vice versa, no?
Got it. Alex, with over 80, now over 100 angel investments, you must have some amazing stories to share. Can you tell us about a startup or startups that you've backed and, you know, they particularly impressed you, or, you know, what made them stand out from the rest?
Yeah, you know, it's like
hard to choose, like, one, or like even few.
Yeah, right? The normal answer is I love all my children the same. No? So
exactly. You
shouldn't be showing like you prefer one versus another one. No, so yeah, it's a difficult answer to make. Like I've made a lot, and I'm excited by many. And I think also, like, the beauty of this is like, you might be super excited by one when you invest, and then it doesn't go so well, or you can be less excited by one, and then it go amazing, but then it can go bad again. So it's a very long journey. So I know from experience that what I would say today would be wrong tomorrow, and etc. No, like what I would say tomorrow would be wrong in 3 days. No, so yeah, it's difficult to say more on one than another, no?
Cool. You know, like, as a founder yourself and a scout for Sequoia Capital, you have unique insights into the startup ecosystem. What trends are you currently seeing in European startups that you're excited about? And, you know, where do you see the most potential for growth?
Yeah, I think... Europe is it's a very exciting place lately. It has some challenge to overcome, I think, from my perspective. Mm-hmm. But it's still very exciting. I think we are at a stage in the ecosystem where there is quite some investment and quite some good fund investing, no? So, so capital is less a bottleneck than it used to be. Talent is not a bottleneck anymore also, because we have many talented people that used to work in Silicon Valley and come back to Europe. And there have been a lot of successful startups in the last couple of years who have some alumni like launching new startups today. So like we have a good quality of talent, good quality of engineer, people that have seen scale, either from the valleys that are back in Europe or from Europe directly in some unicorns, and we have a few. So yeah, talent and capital are less bottleneck. I think there is also some very ambitious founders that want to build some stuff that are meaningful more and more, and this is exciting. I think one of the challenges we face is it's two things, I would say. One is internationalization. I think it's obviously more challenging for a European startup to internationalize itself in many countries. Mm-hmm. At Fleet, we are now opening, we have a French company, we open in Spain, in UK, in Germany. Just those four markets, if you sum them, it's still less than the US, but it's still four legal entity, four language, four content, you know, for agreement with local financial partners. So it's a lot of work to internationalize yourself when you are European, and Europe is not yet one single market. And to build a world leader, you have to you know, like, internationalize yourself. While I think American startups benefit from having a very large market they start from. Mm-hmm. You know, like a Californian startup, just California is GDP of France, but then it can go to Texas and can go to New York. And it's, at the end, if they dominate US, it's already bigger than Europe or similar to Europe in terms of GDP. And then they can go to Europe. So I think internationalization is a challenge. And then, like, I think there is, so far, not enough M&A and IPO in Europe. So exit and liquidity for European venture is a challenge also. Let's see how this evolves. But in terms of excitement, I think I've been reading lately, like, AI, we have more talent people in AI than the US, for instance. So I think we could be building some great AI company, which is the new wave. Fintech, if you step back, like, we have been building, like, a very big success in fintech. If you think, like, from the US, there is Stripe, but from the Europe, there is Adyen, there is Klarna, there is Checkout. So there is already three very, very big players coming from Europe. Yeah. And so maybe fintech is a vertical where there is more bigger startup from in Europe versus the US. So let's see, no?
Sounds good, Alex. You know, being based in Paris, you're at the heart of the European startup ecosystem. If you were hosting a party with three tech legends, past or present, who would be on your guest list, and, you know, what would be the main course of conversation?
Yeah, so it's a good question. I would love to speak and meet so many people, but obviously, if you tell me, like, to pick three, I will go for the most legendary one. So it's not, it's quite common answer, no? But maybe I would love to meet Steve Jobs, for sure. I would love to meet Elon Musk. And maybe, I don't know, like, Jeff Bezos. Yeah. So it's quite common, I know, but... And why them? Like, I've been reading some bio, and I think it's a good learning I'd love to share, no? Like, I always try myself to, as they say in the US, stand on the shoulder of giants, no? Mm. To learn from the best. I think it's, there's so many bio, so many documentation, podcasts, books, and stuff. On all the learning of people that have achieved, like, massive stuff, yeah. I try to, you know, like, go as close as possible to them and learn from them, and take those learning and apply it to me, my startups, the startup I invest in. Mm-hmm. If I have the privilege to sit at a dinner with Steve Jobs, Elon Musk, and Jeff Bezos, and just listen to them, no? Like, and maybe they would have some big ego to to say, oh, I'm the best and stuff, but I would just, like, shut up and listen, no?
Cool. And what, so actually, follow up question to that, where would you host that party? Like, what's your favorite place in Paris?
Good question. Favorite place in Paris? It's not favorite place, but if I have the privilege to do such a dinner, I would do it at home, no? Like, you know, like, and try to have them feeling comfortable and, you know, like, you can see below me, but I'm in a classic French Parisian apartment. I do some fires. No, like, so I would just sit here and try to do something, you know, chill, relax, and have people open themselves and speak and like a low-key conversation and yeah, let them, you know, share stuff they never share and open
sounds
themselves.
Sounds like a party, like, you know, no one should miss.
Yeah. So I think it's the best way to have people opening themselves is to make them feel like at home, no?
100%. Alex, let's dream big. If you could time travel to, you know, to the future and see the impact that the startups that you've built and you've invested in made, what would your vision be?
Yeah, so Fleet, I think, I would love to time travel and see Fleet in 5 years or 10 years and I hope, like, I think we have a simple way to measure our success, no? Is how many devices we manage for our clients. And so I think if we manage to one day have, I don't know, like 1 million devices under management, 1 million devices under management, it will be already quite a meaningful milestone, no? Like if we have like 1 million people using a Fleet device, with MDM, with leasing, with insurance, with warranty, it would mean we have a serious footprint in Europe and maybe US too one day. So I think it's a clear metric we try to focus the team on. We are obviously quite far from it so far, but I'm feeling like milestone after milestone, we are moving forward on this journey. Yeah.
Cool. Alex, to finish it off, do you have any exciting initiatives that you'd like to share with our audience, either within Fleet or within Sequoia Capital or outside of it?
Yeah, so Fleet, I think we have something exciting to share. We are now more and more thinking, and I think it will be the case very soon. So I can share the info already with you. I told you previously, no, we are live in France, Spain, Germany, and the UK. And I think very soon we'll be able to be live in all European countries. So we'll move from 4 countries to 27 or something quite fast. And I think it's a step towards the journey I was telling you to become a meaningful player in Europe now. So it's something very exciting for us. We've been working very hard on, and I'm excited that I can be live quite soon. So
amazing.
I think the best way to share it, your startup podcast. Hopefully it's going to be live in all EU soon.
That's so cool. Thanks so much for your time, Alex. It's been lovely meeting you. Good luck with everything, and I'll talk to you soon.
Same. Thanks a lot. Have a good day. Cheers.